Anyone who's ever spent any time around a young child will be very familiar with the why phase of life. All kinds of things can be met with why, why? Everything from it's time for bed, or time to eat, or time to get dressed, time to leave the house, can all be met with why. And there are larger why questions too, things like why is the sky blue, or the moon round, and why is broccoli so important? And this is good because there's a lot to learn when you're very young, what things are, as well as ideas, learning about how the world works and a little of your place in it. Learning from those around you what's important and what's not. Learning how to filter information that is pouring in from a wildly stimulating world so that it doesn't overwhelm, so that some sense can be made and some steadiness found in a world that is new and unpredictable and unexplained at every turn. In our culture, it seems as though we go through something similar again as we cross the threshold into adulthood. In our teens or early 20s, we step out, having to process a whole heap of new things about where we are and who we're going to be with, having to pay attention in a new way to keep ourselves safe, and to navigate each next life step. We might be free to reevaluate, to test some of the ideas and values that we've brought with us from childhood, to see whether they really fit, or whether our new receptivity to this wider world is opening us up to different ways of thinking, unexplored and creative new ways of seeing and being in the world. As with those much younger years, early adulthood can be another time of great potential, of becoming. Young adults often encountering the world for the first time in a direct way, without the buffer of their caregivers or schools or the familiarities of childhood. And then, at some point, maybe after we've worked for a while, paid bills for a while, perhaps partnered, perhaps started a family, we close down somewhat and just get on with the demanding task of living, of coping, sometimes of surviving. Staying wide open to it all, staying hyper-receptive is really energy expensive. So eventually we'll opt for the efficiency of just getting on with it. And soon, the world that shaped us, the world that laid down so many significant memories and forming moments, that world is gone. It's passed away. Because the world is always forming and reforming, changing with each arriving generation. We might even look out one day and feel cut off from or alienated from what the world has become, unable to recognize the world we once felt was ours, that world that we knew. Nicodemus, Jesus' conversation partner in today's gospel reading, is likely in this phase of life. He's established, somewhat settled, putting those ways of thinking that he developed in his younger years to use to help him navigate life, to help him cope, help him survive. And then along comes Jesus. This newness cannot be ignored, but Jesus' teaching doesn't fit into any of Nicodemus' established ways of making sense of the world. But Nicodemus has stayed just open enough, just curious enough to notice that something new and important is changing in the world that he lives in. Something new that he doesn't understand. We might imagine the great amount of energy that it took for Nicodemus, an established leader in his community, the great amount of energy that it took for him to admit that there was a gap in his understanding, that he needed, once again, to become a learner, to learn what and who Jesus was and what his teachings meant. He needed to ask questions. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, the time of darkness, which I see in the Gospel of John as being symbolic, representative of potential. The darkness representing the formlessness of possibility that gives rise to something new, to some new expression of life, much like the darkness of the womb before birth. And by the time we are set in adulthood, most of us have been reborn, developmentally speaking, at least twice. First, as the young child being reborn into a self-awareness as they place themselves in the wider world and begin to separate a little from their primary caregiver. And then again, being reborn as a young adult, as a fuller independence calls us to step yet further into the unknown. Eventually, though, we settle, and our repeated habits of thought, our established judgments, our adopted and then guarded ideologies, they begin to limit us somewhat, leaving us somewhat closed off from others and from God. Jesus, through his exchange with the curious and the questioning Nicodemus, is pointing us to that openness and receptivity that's characteristic of our early stages of becoming. Be born anew, Jesus tells us. Be born from above. By being open and receptive to the fullness of the Spirit that flows through you, open up your thinking and your doing. Sense that which is beyond place and time, and be formed, be changed, and emerge through this rebirth into a new life stage, closer to God, and bound by love to life. And so begin to know something of the eternality of life that is very real and very present. Likely, we have never felt quite so alive as in those years when we're most open to the world around us, being shaped by it, paying attention to it all, and allowing ourselves to become who we are being called to be. And it is to this state of being that Jesus is pointing us for this rebirth at any age, at any stage of life. To know the kingdom of heaven is to know life and to know it deliciously and abundantly. And Jesus is the way. To believe in him is to feel that promise in our very being and to trust it. But first, we've got to get curious. Stay curious. Ask questions. Cultivate an openness and receptivity to the ever-present newness in the world around us that is always arising, always shifting and changing. Curious about the lives and the creative ways of living that surround us. Lives through which we can sense and understand the eternal presence of God in brilliant new ways. In ways that would form us anew and transform us, reborn for the kingdom.